Oh, you want I'm a hot dog. Come on up here and sing, young man. Hallelujah. That's right. Let me get that mic down there. Can't you get any money? So we come sing with you. It ain't gonna bite. No, it ain't gonna bite. Okay.
Jesus loves me, yes, I know. For the Bible tells me so. For we are weak and he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. For we are weak and he is strong.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, praise God. That little fella gets up in here, he just goes on sings without a music. Praise God. I get up in if I sing. If I sing by music, okay, a cappella, either one, I'm going to see the door start swinging open. Because y'all going to start leaving. All right, anybody else? You? All righty, come on up here, brother. Amen.
Old song that my...
Amen. Amen. That's good. Amen. All right. Anybody else? We just family. We just country people. So if you feel like you want to come up and try singing, come on. What about y'all back there looking at each other and everything? Oh, me. All right. Well, okay. If you will, tonight, for a few minutes, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts, chapter 9. And I know each and every one of you probably know the scripture right here. Probably, maybe you might know it better than I do. But I'll tell you one thing. If I was an individual that I would love to pattern my life after, I would love for my life to be patterned after Paul. Because when after Paul got saved, he never did turn back. He never did turn back. He went on for the Lord. And he went into places where nobody else would go. And you know the story back over in chapter, I said chapter 9, so chapter 16 is where I'm going to go tonight. But over there in chapter 9, that's when after Paul got saved. Now we know that also here in chapter 8, in verse number 9, 10 and 11 says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in a same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, is perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Right there we know that we're seeing where people there, we know it's Peter and Simon. Peter, He wanted the same power that the others had. He wanted, in other words, what he wanted, he really wanted to have the same power that Jesus Christ had. So he said, well, how much will it cost me to receive that power? Guess what? It don't cost you one red dime. Not one red penny. It doesn't cost you. Only thing it costs you at all is just be faithful to him. And do what he's asked you to do. And that's not giving up anything. Because when you got saved, God put something in your heart. And God put something in your life to do for him. And you don't want to do the other stuff that you used to. That's the reason I say this. A whole lot of people that used to be in church, but they're not in church no more. And they're out here, they're doing all the other things of the world. And they're not even coming to the house of God anymore. They're not coming and praying. They're not coming and wanting to see the church grow. They don't even want to see the kingdom of God grow. The only thing that they want to see grow is hell. That's the only place that they want to see grow is hell. Why? Because of the hellish condition that they're living in. They're living in hell. And some says, well, this is heaven on earth. No, it ain't either. No, it ain't. It ain't heaven on earth. It may be some to some, but it's the only thing that they're going to ever get to close to heaven is right here, because they're going to die and go to hell, and they're going to go down there. And I'm going to tell you, just like I said one time before, I said that old worm, praise God, he's going to get on their bodies, and they're going to want to try to kill themselves. They want to try to hang themselves, and they'll take up a piece of wood, a lumber, and they'll try to stab it through them to take their life. They can't take the life. They can't take the life. Why can't they take the life? See, God wouldn't allow us. God wouldn't allow me to take my own life to benefit somebody else. That's not God. God paid the ultimate price at Calvary. On Golgotha's hill, when he went up that hill there, and when John there, when he was just going up on the hill and everything, and he done got so bent over and everything, he could hardly even carry the cross. But here's the dear brother, John, he picked up the cross. He picked up the part of the cross. And he helped him the rest of the way. And then what did Jesus say when he was on the cross? He looked down from the cross that day. And he looked at John. He said, John, my beloved, take care of my mother. Look after her. Allow no harm to come to her. What do you think that John done? John done exactly what the Lord asked him to do. He done exactly what he asked him to do. And yes, and his mother was there. And he was hanging between heaven and earth. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for me and for you. For them individuals out here today that's lost and won't give God a second chance, won't even give God even a first chance to try to help them, to try to turn their life around, get them off of drugs and get them off of alcohol and get them off of this sex perversion that's going on. They don't want to allow God to help them. There's no one that's a drug addict can ever go to. Go and get off of drugs. Oh yeah, they got these doctors out here. They got these places out where you can go. And they say that they'll help you get off of drugs and everything. Don't think they're going to do is just get you off of it while you're there. Until you get back out. And when you get back out, and then once one of your friends come up and say, would you like to have a little snort?
Would you like to have a little marijuana? Hey, I got a needle right here. It's brand new. You want a little coke? You want me to shoot it up in your arm? That's all it takes. That one needle, one puncture from going back in the same condition that they was in before they ever went back. They don't care anything about the family. They don't care anything about life itself. Why? Because they're going to spend the last dollar. They're going to spend that last dime. They're going to spend that last penny on their habit. The habit that cannot help them. Oh, they think that that habit can help them. That they think that habit can just clear the mind of everything else that's surrounding them, that's bringing them down. No. What's bringing them down is the habit. That's what's bringing them down. Overhearing. Acts 16. And I want to read this right here kind of quick, and then we'll go back and comment on it. Now, I want you to think about something. Saved from suicide. Saved from suicide. In verse 15, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sung praises unto God. And the prisoner heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands was loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have prisoners and would have him and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" This individual, when he, this jailer right here, he'd already had woken in his sleep because of the earthquake. And what did he do? It said that he drew his sword. He drew his first sword. And when he drew his sword out, what was his intention? His intention was to commit suicide. That's what his intention was. His intention was to commit suicide. And Paul knew all of this. But Paul told the soldier right here, he said, do not do any harm to yourself. Because we all are here. And then the jailer, he come back to Paul and said, "What must I do to be saved?" He wanted to get his mind off of suicide. He wanted to put his mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. And hallelujah. Thank God for that. That we can put a mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can put a mind on Him and not worry about suicide. Not worry about anything else out here in the world that's going to conquer us and wants to tear us down. Do
Did you realize that there are people out here who wants to tear you down? There's probably individuals that maybe you know personally that you worked with or something that want to tear you down. They'll do anything they can to tear you down. They'll lie on you. Don't give them the benefit of the doubt now, because they will. They will, just as soon as you turn your back on them. They're going to tear you down. They want to destroy your testimony because they know what kind of testimony you have. They know who you serve. They know if you serve God or if you serve mammon, Satan. They know who we serve. They know more about us than we know about each other. And we were right here in the services. They want to tear me down. That's their job. Their job is to get me away from the King James Bible, to get me from the true Word of God that I believe is the closest thing for the English speaking people today. Nobody has the original manuscript because the original manuscript has been there in heaven for all these years. And just think about the original manuscript. We couldn't even read one chapter out of it because it would take us so long. Why? Because, you know, in knowing God, don't you think that God has much more that He would love to reveal to us? Don't you? I do. I think God has a lot more to reveal to me. But the reason He don't want to reveal it to me now is because He knows that this spiritual being on the inside has a problem with the outside appearance, with the flesh. That's the reason He won't allow me. Why? Because if He allows me to know everything that He's got written there in the book that's been settled and is in heaven today, I would be so confused. You would be so confused. We would doubt our salvation. We would. And I know sometimes we've said, well, you know, I have doubted my salvation. Well, I have too at times. But one thing about it, when I do doubt it, then that's when the Holy Spirit comes back and says, Donnie, says, you're saved. Your name is written there in heaven. Even God Himself cannot even blot out your name because He placed it there. And if He placed it there, then He's going to turn around and blot out your name and take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life because you question your salvation. Then why would I want to trust Him again? Why would I want to trust Him again? I'm like what this preacher I was talking to here the other week. And this preacher was talking to me and he was telling me, he said, you know something, preacher, I've been saved for going on about almost 60 years. He's almost about, I think he's about 74, 75 years old. And I know that I haven't done everything right. I know that. And I know that I'm not a perfect individual. I know that. God knows that and I know that. But in the life that I've lived as a Christian, trying my very best to live right according to the Word of God and according to what the Holy Spirit reveals to me each and every day. I believe if he come right down to the nitty gritty, when he come right down to the end, and then I come to find out that there's no heaven and there's no hell. That everything that I've been told and everything that I've read about has been a lie. I still do not regret the way I lived my life, because I was trying my very best to live it for God. But see, I know. See, I'm going to tell you something you probably may not know about me. I said, what's that? I said, after I got saved, the individual told me, the evangelist told me, he says, you need to get in there and read the book of John. Read the book of John all the way through. He said, you know, I got all the way through the book of John just about. And one day I just come in there and I started reading, and he says, he don't know what it was. He don't know if it was the Spirit of God or if it's a devil or what. But something told me to turn to the book of Revelations. He turned to the book of Revelations. He read about all the churches there, the Laodicean church, Philippian church, the Ephesian church, and all that. He named them all. He says, Donnie, what I want to tell you is, I read the last three or four verses of chapter 3 in the book of Revelations. And I read the first part of the fourth chapter of Revelations. So I know where I'm going. And I know whose side I'm on. He says, I'm on the winning side. I cannot lose. If I stay here, I'm a winner. If I go and he takes me home, I'm still a winner. I can't lose. And so, ain't that the truth? That's the truth. We cannot lose. There's no way we can lose. Oh, yes, we can lose the joy like David did. David lost the joy of his salvation, but he did not lose his salvation. But he did go back to God, and he asked God, after he had been running from God all them years, he went back to God and said, God, please, I'm begging of you now, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore the joy. He was still saved, but he did not have no joy. That's the reason I think there's a whole lot of people out here in the world today that won't come back to church because of somebody else's done read something out of somebody else's menu and all of that and everything, and they said, nah, I ain't gonna come back to church. Hey, yeah, they may be saved. They probably 100% saved. But if they're not in the house of God, there are people that's most miserable. They don't have the joy. I'd rather lose everything that I have. I'd rather lose my home. I'd rather for all the automobiles that I have to break down and where I will never be able to fix them again. I would be willing to give up all of that. And what money that I do have in my back pocket, I'd rather give up all of that than to lose my joy. I'm saved tonight. How about you? Hallelujah. Are you saved tonight? If you are, say amen. Praise God. We need to say, we need to tell, let the people know whose side we on. And I'm on this,
I'm not on the devil's side. Hallelujah. I'm on God the Father's side. I'm on Jesus' side. I'm on the Holy Ghost's side. Praise God. I'm going to tell people about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the only one can convict me.
The Holy Ghost is
the only one can convict you of your sins and bring you to Jesus. Only Him can do that. God the Father can't do that. God can't come and convict me. He can't convict me. Now, preacher, now what are you talking about? Now, God is God. God is God. You're right. But what is God? God is the part of the triune God. He is the part of the Trinity. There. He is the head of the Trinity. Then His Son is part of the Trinity. And then the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to override the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks to me and He goes, Jesus is going to say, well, don't fool with Donnie. Confound him. I mean, you know, He said He'd follow me before, but He ain't done nothing. He just lied to me and lied to everybody else. Don't do that anymore. You know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? The Holy Spirit's going to still convict my heart. Why? Because, see, the Holy Spirit knows that the Lord Jesus can't override Him. God the Father can't even override Him. See, He has His specific duties before to do. And what is His specific duties? What is His duties? As the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Ghost, His duty is to convict people of the sin. His duty is not to save me. His duty is to convict me of my sins. And then if he knows, he says, now, I've got Him now. He just keeps thinking about it all the time. I don't know how to get saved. I wish I could go and get saved. Next thing you know, the Holy Spirit will lead somebody to you. And then just start talking to you about Jesus. And you say, you know something? I'd like to know a little more about that Jesus that you're talking about. I'd love to talk to you really in depth about Him. Because I don't know that much about Him. But I sure would love to. The individual that started talking to the man about Jesus, he says, you know, woo, glory to God, hallelujah. Woo me, praise God. Jesus go to that man. He says, you know something, I just want to let you know. I love you. I loved you enough that I allowed some soldiers, the Roman soldiers of the Jewish sect, to take me up Golgotha's hill and place me upon that cross. And the man said, well, they did? Yeah, sure did. Well, really, why didn't he come down from the cross? If everybody says that Jesus is, it's Jesus and what Jesus can do, and everything, he could come. Yeah, he could have come down from the cross. But if he'd come down from the cross on his own, nobody would have a chance to go to heaven. And see, God has all of that space there. And he wants to give it to me and you. He wants to give it to the people I hear. Inheritance. And they said, well, what can he do for me? He said, well, I told you he loved you. He said, you know, he can save you tonight. He can save you from the sin that is all around you. You don't have the strength, and you don't have the ability and the power and the eyesight. You don't have the knowledge to forget about all of that. You don't have none of that. So don't you worry about you having to give it up. You let Jesus do what he's supposed to do. See, Jesus is the only one who can change your life. Jesus is the only one who can take the wickedness out of your soul. He's the only one who can loosen them shackles. He's the only one that can take you out of bondage. Like when the earthquake there, when it shook there, when Paul and Silas was there in prison, he said, they said that what? What shook? The jailhouse shook. The cells was open. And then what happened? All the chains that had them bound, and probably the chains even went into the wall there, where they could not step forward, but maybe a few steps. Well, see, but they made one mistake, the soldiers did. The devil made one mistake. Made one mistake. He did not cut their tongue out. He didn't take their tongue out. Why? Because they were singing. They were singing. Now people can say what they want to about Elvis Presley and all these other singers right here. How good they can sing. Oh yes, they can sing. Praise God. But just like Elvis, he said, they said, well, Elvis, he come up with the original song, Jailhouse Rock. I disagree with you. And they say that Elvis has got the copyright to that. No, he don't either. God the Father got the copyright to that. Paul and Silas was the first ones to come up with that theme. The jailhouse shook. The jailhouse opened all the doors. The jailhouse, the earthquake, took the shackles away from the legs and away from the arm, the wrist of the hands. And probably even the chain that come out from the wall and had it shackled around the neck so they couldn't do all that moving. But he took all that away from them. Paul and Silas, hey, they don't want to go nowhere. They're having a good old time. They're having a good old count meeting. But that old jailer, he come by. Praise God, he come by and he took out his sword and he was going to commit suicide. He was going to commit suicide. That right there tells me that an individual that is saved and they commit suicide, yes, they're still saved, but they're going to lose some rewards. They're still saved and they're going to lose some rewards. Because Paul says, once saved, always saved. Paul didn't say, well, once saved, but now if you get caught up into this and that and all the world that's coming up against you and everything and you can't handle it and your mind gets out of control and you take your own life, you won't go to heaven. Paul didn't say that. Nowhere in the Bible said it. if it was saved? Nobody. Nowhere in the Bible. If it's there, you're going to have to take the Bible and show me where it's at and what it says. Because I don't believe it's there. Because I just do not believe that we serve a God. Brother Bill, that can save me from the pits of hell. And then just because my mind get a little fuzzy and my mind gets a little crazy and I start talking out of my head, and then I commit suicide, the God that I serve would not allow me to go to hell. Yes, He would allow me not to receive some of the rewards that He has there for me. Some of the rewards that I had there, He will take them away. But He will not go back on His word. He can't go back on His word. If He does, what are we doing here? Really, why are we here tonight? If we can believe that once saved, but then if we sin and we commit suicide, then we're going to be doomed for hell. Well then, why would we want to serve a God that way? Why not just go on out there and live it up like the other people in the world? God's a just God. He's a just God. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Stand to your feet if you don't mind. Appreciate it. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. We want to thank you, Father, for the earthquake that came about, Father, there in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 down through 34, Lord. Father, for them verses there. Oh, Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you, Father, that we know that you cannot go back on your word. And, Father, we are saved for eternity. But, Father, even though we know we are saved, it does not give us the right to go out here and sin. It does not give us the right to go out here and live like the world lives, Father. And, oh, God, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, I pray, Father, that you'll just help me that I may live for Thee. And I may live for Thee for eternity until you come back to get me, Father. And I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go just like I am tonight, Father. I'm ready to go. Father, if you come after me tonight, Father, I'm ready. You're just going to take me home tonight. I'm ready. And I pray, God, tonight, Father, that everybody here tonight is ready to meet you, because we never know the proper time. We never know the exact time that you're going to come back, because the Bible tells that you're going to come back as a thief in the night. And we know where the thief comes from. We know where he comes from and coming back in the night. Why? Because the darkness represents sin. And when a thief comes in, he breaks into a home. What does he go after? He goes after the very best which we have. Father, they're going to look around, and yes, they may see maybe an old watch in the jury box, Father. But then you keep grumbling there, and then they'll see maybe a 10-carat ring. You think they're going to leave the 10-carat ring and take an old watch? No. Father, they're going to come back after the very best. And we know, Lord Jesus, that that's what you're going to do. You're going to come back after the very best of your servants. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, tonight that you may help each one of us to come together in spirit and in truth. And Father, that more people would want to hear more about the gospel. Father, it is good in knowing that you saved me. It is good that you have allowed me to read your word. It's good, Father,
where you allowed me just to come and talk to you at any given time. And Father, tonight I pray, Lord Jesus, that you may be with each one of these people that's here tonight. Father, that you may touch the heart, and only you can touch. And Father, we just want to be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor that deserves you. We don't deserve nothing, but you deserve everything. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All righty. Everyone stand.